With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Yeah, it's that time of the show where effectively we go through the week and we think, yes, it's good, celebrate good times in every sense of the word. Actually, time-wise, in Nashville, Tennessee, Cameron, what time have you got there?
It is just after noon here, 12:02.
So 12:02 in Nashville and a 5:02 in the jolly old world of Lincoln, which is fabulous. I've been looking at the Maple Star Music and Media newsletter, and, well, what wonderful things we've actually got there. International is so important to what Maple Star Music and Media is all about. Tilbury realized that he needed foreign officers. In 2013, he reached out to trusted associates Melanie Crouch and Laurie Thompson. Yeah, just like that. And they live in London, England, and indeed Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, respectively. So that's been good. Of course, it was the O2 Arena event at the weekend. Did you know that, Gabriella?
No, I didn't.
No. Did you know that, James Cason?
I did not.
The Country Music Festival at the O2 Arena? Unbelievable. Sometimes Cameron and I just think, well, you know, they're probably too fretty about the budget and such like stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just growing and growing, is it not, Cameron?
It is. For two nights in London at the O2 Arena to be completely sold out, and they also have pop-up stages around with, you know, British artists that are performing. BBC has been featuring them on TV. Country music is really on the rise in the UK, and it's great.
And the classic line, at least when it comes to music, we don't believe in borders.
No, we don't.
I thought that was like the Gettysburg Address, Cameron. It's wonderful.
See, I like the line about import-export. That was my favorite. But, no, I mean, people now are just, I think it's becoming more mainstream. People are understanding how big country music is becoming in the UK. And, of course, we've known that for years.
I like to feel it's because of our Midweek Drive live on Siren 107.3 FM features that are there, which of course you can download anytime you wish from the appropriate podcast site, which is of course outsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Listen, Cameron, it gets even more exciting because today we've got a competition on the show, a competition for tickets for the upcoming performance of Rudra, that's Rudra, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Rudra reverberates. It's a powerful force in the shape of Shiva transitioning between peace, disturbance, love and lament. The theatre company Manasamitra resurrects Indian mythology through an exciting fusion of contemporary music and dance, reimagining the ancient for tomorrow, choreographed by Sonia Sabri to an original musical score by Sri Sriam. If you'd like to enter this, and I know you'd have to get on the chat to do so, Cameron, but obviously it's open to all from that point of view, all you need to do is to send an email to competition@sirenonline.co.uk. That, once again, is competition@sirenonline.co.uk with the answer to the following question. Who wrote The History Boys? Recently featured at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Who wrote The History Boys? Simples. It wasn't Daryl Perry, was it, Cameron?
No, it wasn't. But Daryl's written a lot of other stuff. This guy, I think I met him for the first time at National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas when I was there 4 or 5 years ago. And he was playing at one of the hotels doing kind of an after party after the rodeo. And I was really blown away by his music. We've been in touch quite a bit over the past few years. He lives here in Nashville. He's originally from Texas. And he's got an album out that you should check. It's called Daryl Perry Memoirs from the Road, and this is one of the cuts from it, and I really like it. This is called Born to Roam on Siren FM 107.3.
Got the fiddle out for the last few moments. Fantastic. Nice to see that Siren FM's very own Twitter account, Siren, at Siren FM, of course, which is where you can tweet us, etc., has actually put up, I think courtesy of that wonderful chap called Jeff Thompson, actually. Alex left, you can go with the Midweek Drive 5 to 7 on 107.3 FM for Lincoln, sirenonline.co.uk, Siren FM, or tune in worldwide at Studio Siren FM. I don't want to be sort of frantic about this, Cameron, but it's always very excited. Indeed, Gabriella, you've just sent a text to Uncle David, I believe. Is that right?
Uncle David.
Uncle Douglas.
He is listening, yes.
There we are.
He replied very promptly and said, yes, he's listening.
Nice. That's what we like to hear. Good positive stuff there. But what did we make? If I could really probably put this to Uncle Douglas in terms of what did he make?
Send him a text.
Of Born to Roam with Daryl Perry. Well, if he's listening, you don't have to send him a text, do you? I mean, just a bit of logic there. If he's actually listening at this moment, he would actually know and he can send you a text.
He'll text me, yeah.
There you go. You see. Sometimes this new technology, Cameron, honestly, where do we go? Anyway, Gabriella, what did you make of it?
I really enjoyed that song. Mm-hmm. I really did. One of my favourites, definitely.
Straight in there like swimmers, so to speak. And James Kaysen?
All-American country song. You got guitar riff, fiddle, Gasoline with Blood. It's got it all.
Guitar riff, fiddle, All-American. Gasoline, all-American joy. I think it's a winner, Cameron. Great stuff.
Thank you. We're really looking forward to doing some work with Daryl, so it's going to be good.
Do you think he'd be on the show before too long, or would you put him together with his partner?
I think we might be able to arrange
We should. We should indeed. Yes. Okay, still to come on the program today, we'll be finding out what Anna Lewis has been up to. We'll be talking to Gail Emms, a silver Olympic medalist, of course, for the UK in the sport of badminton. We got Michelle Monroe with another top selection from her late father, Matt Monroe's back catalogue. Jamie Anderson, of course, the son of the fabulous producer, Jerry Anderson, is with us. So is Ilana Rain, all the way from Los Angeles, and Phil Leonis, also from Los Angeles. Time checks, 12 minutes past 5 p.m., but that's only in Lincoln time, because globally, as we've just heard, it's midday. It's beyond brunch time. James, what are the last two questions we need to put to Cameron Tilbury now?
Oh, Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic experience with us today?
I have. It's been great, as usual.
And will you be joining us next week?
I'll be back.
Exactly. Now, I know you are secretly very impressed with the notion that tomorrow night at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre you have Rudra. And I know secretly, like most people, you're an Ed Wellman fan as well. Let's face it. I mean, you know, I'm just sort of sitting in the
Well, who isn't? Who could not be an Ed Wellman fan?
Gabriella, Ed Wellman fan?
Of course.
James?
Natural.
There you see, it's a done deal all the way. Well, Ed has actually been chatting to the producer of Bobby Tijuana. It could be Tijuana, I suppose, really. But no, I think it's just Bobby Tijuana. So I'll work with that. And so he's going to find out a bit more about Rudra. And, of course, remember, you have the opportunity. That's you. Yes, you. You're sitting in that little area there, the Lincoln area, of actually getting a couple of fabulous tickets for this wonderful production of Rudra. So, Cameron, do you think we should press the button marked Ed Wellman speaks to producer Bobby Tijuana?
I think that would be good, but I have a question, and I don't know if Ed will ask it in this. Does the production have a car chase?
Nice. Yeah. Because I think ultimately it does it. Funny enough, I've been watching old episodes of Hunter, and I can guarantee with Hunter, works for me. You'd always have a car chase. Yeah,
what gotta have a car chase.
Exactly, gotta have a car chase. Otherwise, good point. It could be essential. I mean, as Gabriella last week said over Caramel, if only it had a car chase.
If only a caramel-filled
car chase, if only.
There you go. Exactly.
Let's find out what happens and whether Ed does ask that question.
Considering what you might do on Thursday evening, why not come along to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre to experience those things in the form of emotive flight or Rudra? And to explain a little bit more about what's happening on Thursday night is producer Bobby Tijuana. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
And thank you very much indeed for joining us here on Siren 107.3. So what can we expect on Thursday evening, then?
An exciting show, a dance show, which comprises contemporary dance, as well as elements of Indian dance in there, mixed with fusion music. And the music is made by an interesting chap, actually, called Shri Ram. There's a lot of bass in his music, a lot of beats, and also other instruments and melodies brought in. So Shri is of Indian origin, born in Mumbai. So there's that, you know, sort of flutes playing, and there's an Indian sensibility to the music, yet sort of meeting bass beats and electronica. So it's quite interesting and emotive, combined with the dance.
One of the great things, I think, about the fusion of any musical styles is it's rather unexpected for the audience. So this will be something probably pretty new to many people's ears.
I would imagine so. And I think, I guess, you know, today in Britain, in the 21st century, you know, some things, and of course the way we make music, some things really resonate with us, even though we may have never heard them before, but they feel very right. there is a sense of that with Shree's music. The sort of the bass in it, I suppose, for me in particular, it does feel very reassuring. And then there'll be other elements which will be new, you know, new to people's ears, new to people's palate.
And music and dance, does it tell a story? And if so, why are we calling it Rudra?
Interesting. Rudra is an Indian word, so its origin is Indian. And I suppose a literal translation would mean rage.
Okay.
And it was a starting point, you know, for the piece. That is one emotion that is, I suppose, fully explored and executed in the piece, and you know, that's what we're exploring, rage. I mean, of course, either side of rage, there's other things.
Presumably, you're touring around the country with this, and you touched down in Lincoln on Thursday, and yourself, Bobby, as the producer, how have you found it along the way so far?
It's been really interesting. It's been really interesting. I've worked with Sonia before, the choreographer, and, you know, Sonia's work is really exciting. It's Kathak dance, but very much made and informed by a contemporary context. I've worked with Sonia before in other types of spaces, you know, sort of non-conventional spaces. And I think one of the most exciting things I find about Sonia is how, you know, no two works are the same. And working with different collaborators, you know, she's able to generate new types of things, which, of course, is what you should be doing. We had a great opening in November last year at York Minster and with Rudra, and now we've reworked it slightly, and we're on the road. We, as you say, open in Lincoln, and then we're doing the tour continues in other parts of Yorkshire.
And how has it differed along the way? I mean, you mentioned York Minster there, which, of course, is a beautiful, ancient building, but the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre is very contemporary. Space, totally different. I mean, completely dark for a start. There's a difference between it and York Minster. Does it develop and evolve in different ways depending on where you're performing?
I guess, you know, York Minster was quite bespoke. It was a one-off, you know, and there is nowhere else like it. And so the energy and the essence that we managed to create in that space, we've reworked into the work itself. We're not going to recreate York Minster on, you know, in Lincoln or other stages, but we have made a work that is, you know, tour ready and is tourable. And of course, we're really interested in engaging with different types of audiences, a Lincolnshire audience on Thursday, and of course, that's made up of the local community as well as the student population. And you know, these different artists, you know, work internationally, so it's great to be bringing people of that calibre. Their sort of artistic merit to Lincolnshire.
Music and dance on Thursday night. Peace, Disturbance, Love and Lament. Rudra is the title, meaning rage. We haven't mentioned the name of the actual theatre company yet, have we, Bobby?
No, and that is Manasamitra. So we're the producing company. We've been around 7 years. We're Dewsbury-based, and it's led by artistic director Supriya Nagarajan, who's a South Indian singer. Our ethos is, you know, we're making work which is born out of South Asia, South Asian forms and ideas, but very much about making them relevant to today by working with different types of artists, different types of communities, and trying to engage with audiences in new ways. You know,
one of the things we hear often about performances at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre are the discussions that it creates around the town. And because there are often new works performed there, things that people maybe haven't seen before, and I note that you've got a post-show discussion, which I'm sure is going to go down very well. Is that usual for you, and what sort of things come up in these discussions?
It's not unusual. We have had a post-show discussion for all of our shows over the past 6 months, and actually looking back longer, even more, you know, that's gone on for years. For Manasamitra, it's been a very effective tool to help either contextualize work, so sometimes a small intro at the beginning, that tends to happen in site-specific spaces, where an audience might, you know, the work might be quite alien to them otherwise. Audiences like that sort of contextualization. With the post shows, they've been really quite interesting and varied. On Thursday, we have Sonia there, we have the choreographer, the composer, Shree, and also Supriya, the artistic director of Manasamitra. So we get a whole range of perspectives on, you know, process, how the piece came about, what the piece is trying to do. And of course, you know, it's not restricted. Audiences can ask anything. They might have a question about, you know, how do the dancers keep dancing without running out of breath, or
All important, yes.
Absolutely, or whatever else, and you know, something about music that you know, it might remind people of something else. So they tend to be. I've facilitated quite a few for the company, and they have been very engaging, actually, for the audience, and they tend to last about 25 to 30 minutes. And there's always, you know, people wanting to ask more, but of course we don't want to keep people there all night, and some people want to get on.
Absolutely. Well, what's not to love about a performance called Rudra, Emotive Flight, this Thursday night at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre? You've been listening to the producer, Bobby Tijuana. Thank you very much for your time, Bobby, sir.
Can I just quickly get in?
Yes.
This work is supported by Arts Council England, so you know that is this work wouldn't be possible without the support of Arts Council England. So we're very grateful for that.
Indeed, and you can also not only watch it, but you can, as Bobby was just saying, you can chat to the choreographer and the person in charge of the music. That will be Sonia and Shree, straight after the performance on Thursday. So thank you very much again, Bobby, and we'll do our best to get Lincoln there.
Brilliant.
And not only that, but Lincoln can actually get there free of charge. Free of charge, if you can actually answer this question. It's relatively easily done, and I'll give you a little clue as well. If you find out what Lincoln Performing Arts Centre have actually put together this year, that one of their productions was indeed The History Boys. All we need to know is who actually wrote The History Boys. Write the answer on an email. Send it to competition@sirenonline.co.uk with your details, please. An answer without your name and address or contact details. Pointless, really. Some people do it. I've had it in the time past. competition@sirenonline.co.uk, and you could have tickets for the fabulous Rudra at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Does that excite your good self, Anna Lewis from Jersey?
It does. I mean, we have a couple of nice little theatres in Jersey, and it's a treat when you get different plays and performances that come over. There was a one-man, well, it wasn't really, it was a very small production on Pierpoint, the Executioner. And it was sadly very poorly attended. It was at our local art centre, but it was a stunning performance. And we met the playwright, and there were only two actors in it, and it was excellent.
Well, as you know, last week, Gabriella and Katie Grimerson, and indeed Fatini Efstathiou accompanied me, because I obviously need three bodyguards these days with the sort of state of play of some of the listeners to the programme. Who knows what could happen, really. It's a bit like Kennedy in many ways, but thankfully, you know, not too desperate on that basis. But we went over to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. I think it's fair to say it's a wonderful location, isn't it, Gabriella?
Yeah, it is really nice. Nice bar outside, looks lovely.
But as Cameron would have said, of course, got our very own Holly Cox, who's actually looking out in front of Harris, then, you know, she might even sign an autograph if you're really lucky, a Holly Cox Midweek Drivette. But one of the key things about that last piece, Caramel last week, and of course Rudra tomorrow, unless they're keeping something really back, Cameron Tilbury did actually ask, were there any car chases in the actual performance at all? I think it's fair to say Bobby Tijuana didn't refer to a single car chase. Never mind. Sorry, if you were looking for a car chase, Anna, you know, feel free to do that. I remember a time when a young Anna Lewis decided to actually go off to a kind of wonderful Eastern Indian philosophizing scenario and came back with all sorts of red dots and symbolizations on the whole system. So, you know, you clearly bonded with the Indian subcontinent, or is it just a case of you look back over the days of Empire and the Raj?
Well, it's a combination of both. I think it's nice to be cosmopolitan.
That's very true. James, any questions for Anna Lewis about life, the universe, or indeed whether she actually sort of would agree with Gail Emms, MBE, who's coming up next and talks about the importance of sport, fitness and various other things, and not writing excuses for your children and saying they can't do games or PE because they've lost their kit?
My excuses. Have you had any interesting experiences today? What have you been up to?
Well, it's tomorrow that's my big day. I've been buried in the last few days at an institution that's quite similar to the one I work for, called Jersey Archive. This is where I've been hiding out. And I've been going through the mental hospital records for the last century. And it's quite alarming. The records are the reports on individuals. Of course, they've got 100-year closures, so they're not recent people, but it's amazing how mental health was treated 100 years ago or more.
Well, I think it's fair to say it wasn't, was it, really? I mean, the notion of treatment, it was kind of a brutal, rigorous, robust at the best of times, and probably extremely unwholesome and unwelcome at the worst of times, really. So times change, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. It looks as if they had a fairly good success rate and quite a number of people would discharge. But the best one I've come across is a man that used to give himself some champagne at the end of the day to raise his spirits. And I thought, yeah, I could see that, taking some champagne with you to the local asylum and cheering yourself up with some champagne. Costly, though, I'd imagine.
And but, not good for the liver, and not good for the liver, Anna. You know, we just got to point that out.
No.
You know, exactly very true. Gabriella, thoughts from yourself? Because I do feel that there is a huge bonding across the airwaves every Wednesday when you're obviously our gal from Gibraltar, and there's Anna Lewis, who is our gal from Jersey. You know, I just sense, in fact, you're actually similar heights as well, really.
Are we?
Yeah, well, unless Anna has changed drastically since I last saw her, I think we're 5'2", 5'3".
No. Well, it's the middle age spread.
No. It's anyway, Gabriella, questions for yourself. And that was another Gabriella Peralta deep rooted question.
I'm trying to,
on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM. 26 minutes past 5 o'clock.
House Jersey. Yeah, House
exactly.
Jersey.
Well, Jersey's all right, it's ticking over, but I have to say I was very impressed yesterday. I watched a programme that talked about Lincoln Cathedral, Castle, and they were talking about a sarcophagus that was found underneath the foundations of where they were going to install a lift shaft. But unfortunately, the phone rang and I wasn't able to see what happened when they lifted the sarcophagus out. So if anyone can fill me in on that, I'd be grateful.
Can you not use one of those Listen Again or Watch Again series that's
around
there?
Yeah, I could try. I'm sure it was a BBC programme, so I should try and... My technological skills are rubbish, basically, so I need to...
Anna, if you say that's the case, it will be the case. You've got to say you're a technological genius.
No, it was a fascinating dig. I mean, it was all incidental. And they found all these bones down there as well. I think there were 5 or 6 skeletons and... it looked very kind of exciting in terms of archaeology research. So, yeah, it looked good.
You see, that's just a little flavour of the whole thing. And is it fair to say that, do you have a favourite Gerry Anderson TV series? Or is it a case of, no, if I couldn't be Lady Penelope or Atlanta Shore, there was nothing else for me at all, really?
Well, to be honest, I try not to watch too much stuff like that. But, I don't mind.
You don't mind?
No.
That's because, Anna, Times is a mundane... It's difficult to actually tell that, but that's a non-science fiction-oriented person, a mundane, as the official term. It's not pejorative, Anna, it's just a state of play.
No, exactly.
We appreciate you in every sense of the word. How's the daughter?
Oh, she's fine. London is buzzing. There's lots of exciting things to do, as ever.
So she's London as opposed to Lincoln yet again. Unbelievable.
Yes. No, she wanted to go there for the first degree, and UCL's quite competitive, and she got the bug to go there, and now she's there. She's over the moon. Halls of residence are not much cop, though.
Well, when
there was a storm, there were bits of panelling from the balconies falling off into the courtyard, and this is a new building.
Yep.
It's called the Carbuncle. It won Carbuncle of the Year 2013. Horrific Hall of Residence. So I don't know what Lincoln Uni's like, but...
Perfect, in every sense of the word. I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it, Gabriella? I mean, there just isn't a sort of bad word you can actually sort of say about the institution in many ways. There's a home of Siren FM, James.
Impeccable,
you know. Adjective.
Best thing ever. Worth my travel.
Precisely. If only for the weather.
If only.
Especially.
Anyway, one of these days we'll have to get Uncle Douglas's Chihuahua up, actually, because he wouldn't have to have a sort of pet passport to actually travel from London to Lincoln. So
He's brought Chihuahua up to
Chihuahua
Lincoln.
Chihuahua has actually been in Lincoln.
Yes, it has.
Amazing. It's just fantastic. Last two questions for Anna Lewis, please. Gabriella.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today, Anna?
I have indeed, thank you.
And will you be connecting with us again, hopefully next week?
I'd love to.
Yes, that's very positive to Lula Rendell and Anna Lewis on the same show. And we've got to ask the question, Anna, did either your mum or have you in your capacity as a mother ever written an excuse note for your daughter or your child to actually step aside from games and take part in PE? Has it ever happened?
It's the commonest thing ever. I mean, I know that there's a good reason for making PE compulsory, but I have to say my mum used to write me notes, sprained ankles, you know, whatever
sprained
it was.
Ankles.
And girls' problems, that's the other great one. Yeah. Any excuse. And I think some people are just not made to do sport. So when when it came to the choice of sport or drama, I just couldn't stand the idea of sport, so I went for the drama option, and it was much nicer.
Maybe it's all to do with fun. We'll find out what Gail Elms, MBE, has to do about this, and whether indeed Gail has ever actually cried off sport as a youngster. Or indeed myself, you know. I must admit, yeah, well, you'll hear it in the interview. Anyway, time to press this button here.
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
You see, I wasn't going to forget that, Anna. I realised you were still thinking, they haven't played my jingle. Am I on yet? The cue. I know, rehearsals. It's what makes life just that little bit more interesting.
It don't matter to me if you really feel that you need some time to be free, time to go out searching for yourself, hoping to find time to go to find. It don't matter to me if you take up with someone who's better than me, 'cause your happiness is all I want for you to find. Keep your peace of mind. A lot of people have an ego hang up 'cause they wanna be the only one. How many came before? It really doesn't matter, just as long as you're the last. Everybody moving on and trying to find out what's been missing. Don't matter to me if your searching brings you back together with me, 'cause there'll always be an empty room waiting for you, an open heart waiting for you. Time is on my side. It don't matter to me. It don't matter to me. It don't matter to me. It don't matter to me.
Now, clearly, we've already heard this week on Siren FM about people who've actually been using excuses to actually get out of games. And in fact, when they were at such schools that played rugby and such like, they'd actually say they needed to play the organ, all sorts of things. Shocking. I was absolutely shocked to find this. And to address this issue, together with some fascinating new findings, courtesy of Bupa, we're delighted to welcome a lady who's probably best described as superwoman in every sense of the word. Not only is she a fabulous mum of two, she's also an ace Olympic silver medalist, and indeed a whole collection of gold, silver and bronze medals have been achieved within the wonderful world of badminton. Gail Elms, MBE, good to speak to you. How are you?
Hello, I'm very good, thank you. And yes, I like to say that I've never ever given any excuse for sport at all.
But absolutely.
I may have done.
No.
Maybe.
Unbelievable. I can't, Gail, please.
I'm sure
please.
You're the same. Alex, come on. I'm sure you may have done it as well.
I suppose, actually, I always used to like tennis and football, but when it came to the athletics, in particular the tug of war, there's something about that which just didn't appeal really for some reason.
Exactly.
But there we are.
I know.
So, yeah, okay. I admit it. There we are. I've held my hand up for that point of view.
I have too, as well, though. Well, don't worry about it. Well, it's allowed.
Alright, so, yeah, indeed. Boopa Start to Move, of course. This is a fascinating survey. It's providing primary school teachers across the country with some additional training to increase their confidence in delivering PE in school sport. Because, of course, that is part of the thing. If people are having fun, if they're enjoying it, they're enjoying the activity, then they're more likely to actually want to do more of it, I would have thought.
Exactly. I know we're talking about back in the day when we were doing PE, and it was very traditional sports, and there was no choice. It was, you are going to do cross country, off you go, and you know, we'd just be like, oh my goodness, and running through mud.
Gail,
and just,
cross country, I could never see the point of that. I mean, well, two words.
I'm with you on that, and I'm a sporty girl as well so. Yeah, but now, you know, I think it's great because there are so many sports and activities out there. We see that in the Olympics and Paralympics, and we see the variety. And, you know, it's great. There was so much choice. But, to be a teacher and trying to engage 30 students, especially when you're a primary school teacher as well, and you're trying to keep 30 students interested in PE, it would be very, very hard. Primary school teachers in particular don't get a lot of PE training in their university or in their training year. They don't get much on PE. So when it comes to PE, then most of them don't feel confident about it. It'd be just like this, me going in and teaching a physics lesson. I wouldn't feel confident about that. So it's a lot to ask. And I think now that Boopa, the Boopa Start to Move programme, you've seen this from the surveys, and the Youth Sport Trust really want to deliver high quality PE all across the board, all across all schools. So they've got together and they're saying, right, okay, here is a training program which is free for primary school teachers, just to go and have a look and how to some fresh ideas, some new ideas of how to keep those kids engaged, learn about movement and skills, and just increase their confidence on delivering great PE lessons. And I think that's fantastic because, yeah, we can't just force kids to do something. The more we force them, they're not going to do it. So let's listen to the kids. Let's see, you know, fun. That's what physical education should be. It should be fun. It should be learning about your body and getting good habits, so you're more likely to carry that on into secondary school and later life.
Absolutely. Good habits are well worth pursuing. Although I must admit, Gail, I could see a situation where you could do a fantastic physics lesson based on the physics of the shuttlecock. I mean, I think, you know, you got that effect.
I will work on that work on that.
If Sir Isaac Newton had actually had the shuttlecock as opposed to the apple, I think Principia Mathematica would have had a totally different area. So I just roll that out there. In terms of the whole essence, I mean, obviously badminton is one of those specialised sports which folk don't really get an opportunity to take part in until really maybe their sixth form or whatever. I don't think I was. I didn't get that until about sixth form, and then I was very confused by the fact that unlike tennis, you used to whack the shuttlecock and it used to fly to the various things, just float over the whole system. But I mean, in terms of sports like that, do you think that could be introduced earlier on in the system?
Definitely, and it's funny you say that, because yesterday I was at a school and I was asked to come and introduce badminton to foundation year one and year two. And again, this is a whole confidence thing. Just because I've won a silver medal in the sport doesn't mean I can teach foundation year badminton. And I was so scared. I really was. And I had all these rackets and I was thinking, they're going to hit each other with these rackets. This is just, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? But it was incredible because it was something new. Because I tied it in with other movement skills, so we had balancing going on, we had jumping going on, as well as learning how to hit a shuttle without hitting each other. It was incredible, and you could see the children they listened so well because they were so excited because it was something new. And the way you could deliver it, was it technically badminton? Probably not. But we delivered something that was fun and it was new, and the kids loved it. So I think, you know, it's great for, you know, showcasing lots of sports and then linking them to community activities and community clubs around the area. So if a child does, you know, suddenly goes, wow, I love this, I want to do more, there are these links as well. You can give out details of clubs nearby, coaches, and just telling the parents, actually, your child is really good at badminton, maybe you should look into something, you know, something like that. So it's a great way of, you know, not every kid is going to be playing football for Manchester United or
please don't mention that side.
Whoever their team is. But you know, they're not. It's not going to happen. Or you know, and not every kid's going to do that, even if they dream it. So, but what about all these other choices of sports? And that's why I think sport is so fantastic.
And as you rightly said at the start, the Spoop has started to move program. It's a free program for all primary schools. It gives teachers access to a range of events. And indeed, the website to go to if you're looking for further details: www.starttomovezone.com, which is starttomovezone.com. Gail, I could tell an inspirational aspect comes across with respect to yourself, which is infectious in every sense of the word. Do you think the state of badminton is in a healthy position as far as the UK is concerned?
I think we're doing okay. I think we could
be worse.
We need
more Gail M's, that's the key thing.
Doing all right at the moment. We've got a mixed doubles pair at the moment. We're doing really well, actually. It's quite weird, because when I was playing, they were so young, and I just see them as Chris and Gabby. Well, they're married now. They're a married couple.
Unbelievable.
I know. I can't see how that works, exactly. In a way. But, Chris and Gabby Adcock are doing fantastic, and they're really doing well. And Chris Adcock is doing very well in the men's doubles as well. So we've got two pairs that are doing great. It would be ideal. You know, I'd love there to be more depth, but you know what, if these guys can still carry on doing what they're doing at the moment, who knows for Rio.
Well, I think we've put a full stop to the notion of don't give out excuses to actually miss out on PE or drill or whatever we actually refer to the whole thing, but it is
definitely
more popular than
precisely.
Two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today, Gail? Has it been okay
yes,
for you?
It's good. Been fantastic, thank you.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
I'm sure you can.
Gail
yes.
Ems, MBE, ace Olympic silver medalist, and as I said at the start, superwoman. You know, let's
Yay.
Face it. You know.
I like that.
We will speak soon. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Of course, the thing with badminton is you go, they strike that little shuttlecock, it just sort of floats away. It's very confusing if you confuse it with tennis. Good morning, Phil Leonis. 11:30 a.m. Pacific time is when you'll be tuning, we'll be tuning, connecting with your good self. Well, we can hear, obviously, a weekly appearance of a gentleman who's not just an ace director and indeed anti-violence certified specialist, which is marvellous, but he's also asked for a friendship with yourself, Gabriella.
Yes, he has, and I accepted, of course.
Ace, wonderful. There we are, of course. It's very much so. Says I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. No, I don't think so. Under the atmosphere, perhaps. Not under the weather. But thank you, Phil, for caring. It's nice to know that people care. That's very important. Okay, coming up, the news from the Siren News team. But to take us around to that magical time where we say 5:45 for Siren News. Oh, not yet. Stony Inn, Linda Ronstadt, here on Siren 107.3 FM's very own Midweek Drive.
I was born from love, and my poor mother worked the mines. I was raised on the...